Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Medical Marketing Podcast. In this episode of Ask the Marketing Manager, we're going to talk about blue ocean marketing strategy and how to take the high road with your competition. Our guest today is Stephanie Bradley, the marketing manager of Kugler Vision in Omaha, Nebraska. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really excited to talk some blue ocean marketing.
So just by way of introduction, just tell us a little bit about yourself and about the practice that you work for.
Yeah, so I am the marketing manager over at Kugler Vision. It's a really exciting place to be. We are a fairly small ophthalmology office specializing in refractive surgery, led by the fantastic Dr. Kugler. Just a quick pitch here. If you haven't heard his TEDx talk on myopia, you should definitely check it out. If you are into ophthalmology, you will find that super interesting. But some things that really make us different is that we are the only practice in our region to specialize in all seven different forms of vision correction. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, isn't LASIK the only thing? Well, LASIK is really exciting. It's a great solution that has been helping people for over 25 years now. But there's actually six other ways that we can help people to get out of their glasses and contacts at every different stage of life. So that's a really phenomenal thing to be a part of. Just seeing so many people being able to change their perception of themselves and the way they see the world. As far as just kind of touching base real quick on who I am, I've been with the practice since, 2015. So we're coming up on 5 years now. Doesn't feel that long at all. Just really passionate about what we do and passionate about the mission. I have a background in graphic design as well as marketing and brand strategy. Before I came to Kugler Vision, I was a full-time freelancer. So it was kind of my decision to come here was when I talked to their chief of operations at the time, he just really, really intrigued me with just this completely different way that they approach patient care. You know, it's really a practice that's completely focused on the customer service aspect. So not only do we seek to provide those world-class vision results, it's really just making every single person feel special, feel unique, feel taken care of. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many times your team sees this happen, sees these people walk in unable to see, walk out feeling a heck of a lot better already. Like, even if it's old news to you, and by the way, I hope you never let it feel like that because it is still special. Mm-hmm. That's a once in a lifetime thing for each of these people. And that's something we really hold dear and try to celebrate and elevate that experience each step of the way. And that really caught my attention. I was like, you know, I really want to be a part of that.
No, that's great. So it sounds like you really focus on the entire patient experience, maybe more so than other practices do.
Completely. And it's an ongoing relationship. This is not the kind of place that you go, you have your LASIK or whatnot, you know, you got your LASIK, your PRK, your smile, whatever is the right solution for you. You don't just come here, leave, and never get seen again. Mm. It's an ongoing relationship because we offer all of those different solutions. We're able to help them when they hit their next milestone. You know, gotcha. Maybe 10, 15 years, they find themselves needing reading glasses because, you know, the part on the inside of their eye has changed. You know, that natural lens has begun to degrade. Maybe, you know, even farther from then, they get a cataract and we're still here for them. We can help them. We let them know what to expect. It's something that we call the vision track. And it's this holistic approach to caring for that patient along this continuum of their whole life, so they can remain healthy with healthy eyes and wonderful vision.
Oh, that's great. So walk me through a typical day at the practice. Like, what does your job look like on a day-to-day basis?
You know, that's probably the hardest question to answer, actually. You know, we were actually just recently hiring for a marketing assistant a few months back. We found a fantastic candidate. You know, shout out to Holly. She's amazing. But that was one thing that every single person in the interview process asked. And it was it was hard to answer because it's different all the time. Mm-hmm. In the marketing department, we really function as a full-scale branding and design agency housed within this one small company. So there's no shortage of things to do on any given day. Okay, I should probably start like from the basics real quick here. We have a marketing plan that we draft each and every year. So in quarter four of this year, we'll start planning for, you know, how our strategy is going to look for the next year. And of course, there's room to be responsive, but you want to make sure that you're operating from a good roadmap, right? So once those objectives are laid out, we know our basic tactics. Each and every day has kind of a mix of administration work that goes within, you know, running the department. Does everybody know what they need to do? How are things performing and monitoring that? But then also, you know, taking our next projects on to the next way to progress those. So any given day, I could be doing some, you know, basic updating or optimization of our web pages, which is something you guys are really intimately connected with at Messenger MD. Thanks for all you guys do, by the way. So I could be doing stuff with the site. I could be copywriting, copy editing, doing design work for the various printed or digital pieces that we have, working on talent acquisition, trying to identify and outreach to influencers we might want to work with. Influencer marketing is something that we've really gotten pretty passionate about and have been excited to expand in the last couple of years. So I mean, it's really varied. It can be anything from working with radio people on your next content to slogging through, you know, the next 2 months worth of blogs and articles that we come out with. It really could be a bit of anything.
So you're really wearing a lot of hats.
Yeah, we got a good hat collection going. We also do our own in-house video content and editing. Now, we recently came out with some really great stuff that was in coordination with another production company. So we have had the opportunity to get some real video pros in there. But when it comes to just a quick piece of kind of raw content for social, that's something that we do as well.
Cool. So kind of two-part question here. What would you say is the most challenging part of your job as a marketing manager? And then on the flip side of that, what's the most rewarding part?
Well, okay, so the first part, the challenge, and I mean, this is something that I think every single marketer, or at least every single good marketer, you know, everybody who kind of knows what they're up against, it struggles with. And I think at the core of our job, right, is changing consumer behavior, changing what somebody's going to do that day. I don't think a lot of people wake up in the morning and be like, you know, today is the day I'm going to fill out a self-test on the internet about my vision, right? Like, you have to find different ways of catching people's attention, engaging them, meeting them where they're at, and kind of that psychology component to me, you know, the component of influence, you know, of kind of meeting people where they're at and trying to give them that nudge, that motivation to do something that's going to ultimately improve their lives for the better. I find that really something really cool, something really engaging. And I'm somebody who likes a puzzle and a challenge. So while I would say that just the fact that that's what we're trying to do is one of the most challenging things, I also find it rewarding when we're able to, you know, figure that out. And for anybody listening who's just, you know, wanting kind of a puzzle, right, who likes that challenge, what we're up against is, you know, helping to grow the category of vision correction. Because if you look at just the numbers of it, you know, at any given time, 40% of people are nearsighted. That's a lot of people dealing with myopia who are with their natural. Oh, yeah. So I was one, too. I had actually vision correction with Dr. Kugler, which is like the ultimate vote of confidence in your boss, right? Nice. So I know where they're at and I know how it feels. It's not fun to have blurry vision. So there's 40% of people with that. And then past that, when your eyes start to change with time in your, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, eventually we get cataracts. So as a whole, like 100% of us are going to need some kind of intervention for our vision in our lifetime. And yet, if you look at the percentages of people who are choosing a, by the way, safer and more long-term option, like refractive vision correction, compared to like short-term kind of renting their vision with glasses and contacts, the vision correction procedures only have a 4% market penetration.
Wow.
Which is just wild to me because it's safer and more convenient and a higher quality of life. So I really feel like the blue ocean marketing, you know, the changing that conversation instead of just, you know, joining the shouting match about whatever dollar per eye is super important, because when you change the conversation and you help put it in perspective for consumers, they're able to better understand, you know, the improvements to their lifestyle that they stand to gain. But as far as challenges go, there's not a single thing that I do in my function, you know, whatever hat I'm wearing, that I see as like, oh, that's something I have to do. Like, I love everything about it. So mm-hmm. I would say the challenges are more the big picture challenges. It's not mm-hmm. really the day to day that, you know, nothing really gets me down from that perspective.
Yeah, and they're fun challenges to try to tackle these challenges, these projects, to try to really advance both your practice and, sounds like, grow and expand that category too. Mm-hmm.
Totally. Oh, and great. I think that, you know, just working with you guys for a little while now, I think we're pretty similar as far as just, you know, you identify something that's a challenge, or, you know, maybe something didn't work and you want to deconstruct it and like take it mm-hmm. from like, well, why didn't that work? How can we improve it? And I think that, you know, if you approach things like that as a marketer, you're going to be happy, you know, in what you do. So as far as rewarding, I think the most rewarding part of my job to me is just knowing that, you know, I'm not trying to sell you. You know, I'm not trying to sell you anything. It's not a gimmick. It's not a shtick. It's something that is really going to improve a lot of people's lives. I have never, ever heard somebody say like, oh, geez, I really miss my contacts. Like, I can't believe I did that. You know, like, people are always, without a doubt, every single time, we always hear some version of like, man, I wish I did this sooner. Everything feels so much better. And having actually walked through that myself, like, that's the most rewarding part, is just because it's a challenge to kind of describe vision correction, how they're going to feel. They can't test drive it, you know? Mm-hmm. So you've got to help motivate them to make that leap of faith. And to me, the most rewarding is when we just hear from our happy patients in the marketing department. You know, we're also monitoring the various platforms that we receive reviews on. So reading those, you know, hearing those, seeing how happy people are, and being able to reply to each and every one of them, which, by the way, if you're not replying to each and every one of your reviews, like, start doing that, because it's one of the most basic ways to show people that mm-hmm. what they're saying, the time they're taking out of their day to help you, by the way, with the review, is appreciated. Just hearing all of that is amazing. Once in a while, I'm fortunate enough to be able to speak directly with a customer, directly with a patient, to do maybe a video testimonial or something. I really find that super rewarding. I love just seeing the look on people's faces when they talk about what it used to be like and what it's like now. It's just nothing beats that feeling.
That's cool. So I want to touch on a little bit about your marketing channels first, and then we can kind of shift gears into competition and that blue ocean strategy. But right now, what marketing channels does Kugler Vision actively have a presence on?
Yeah, so I think right now we're all aware the world is looking a little bit wild. We're, you know, recording this in the middle of a global pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. So we've had to adjust things considerably. But I'm going to kind of answer this from the perspective of what things are usually like.
Sure.
So usually we have a pretty darn comprehensive strategy that takes us across multiple channels. So we do a lot of digital marketing. We do pre-roll graphic banner campaigns and retargeting stacks because, I mean, first of all, like, all your SEO in the world, you know, if you're not also like trying to pick up that low hanging fruit of people who've been to your site, are primed and just need to a reminder mm-hmm. to come back, like, you need to be doing that. So there's that. Obviously a lot of work on AdWords. You know, that PPC is really an important component, you know, the search engine marketing. And then also paying a lot of attention to search engine optimization. The SEO strategy needs to go hand in hand. We are heavily invested in engaging our, you know, having our brand engage with potential patients on social media. Something like vision correction lends itself really, really well to Instagram, which is actually probably our, out of the ones that we're on, I would say it's our least mature platform right now, but also the most important because it's growing so much in popularity. So mm-hmm. we're working on growing that channel. Facebook is probably our most mature social media channel. The older crowd is more and more what you run into on Facebook. So it's important when you serve every single age demographic, it's important to not just be engaged with them on social media, but to know the different way to use each platform, who's actually out there. Skipping past digital, as far as just like web-based things, we also have usually have a full gamut of digital billboards across town. We have various, we used to do a lot more events. Those really served a purpose for our brand when we were really kind of getting out there and needing to have more direct interaction with the community to get to know people. We have since in recent years kind of pulled back from that a little bit more. We have done everything from sponsoring events to being part of things, you know, in the community, like health fairs and stuff, but we don't do that so much right now. In 2020, we are excited to really launch back into, we had a television presence going. We partnered with one of the major news stations here locally and had some really great coverage through that, with some really high quality video content that we worked to put together with a production company. I'm trying to think I'm missing. Oh my gosh, I am missing a big one. Sorry about that. Radio. We okay. are really, really have always had a strong presence on radio. And I know that there are some people out there probably hearing this and like, radio is kind of going away. You know, so many people have, you know, they have Sirius XM. They have all these other things they're listening to. Yes, I hear you, you know, and that's crossed my mind as well. However, there really is some strong usage of radio if you just know how to use it and you know where to go. So for us, we did a lot with sports talk radio, working with influencers there, identifying particular personalities, show hosts that we thought were great complements to our brand that had a vision problem that we could help them with, and then getting, you know, live reads in their show. So if you know, work with that talk radio segment, you have really engaged listeners. It's not the same as people who like turn on the radio for, you know, noise at their desk and tune it out.
Yeah, they're listening every day. That kind of thing.
And then I'm feeling really bucky right now on podcasts as well. We have some really talented podcasters, even here locally, actually a couple of awesome personalities who had their own show here on radio and then recently moved to the podcasting format. And we got in on the ground up, nice. You know, when they were pretty new on that for, you know, sponsoring them. So really trying a lot of different things. And I know I already mentioned it, that influencer marketing is huge. If you haven't investigated how to use influencer marketing for whatever your particular market is, it's definitely a missed opportunity. It's really something to take a look at.
Cool. So, I mean, like any other practice in a city of, you know, nearly 500,000 people, you've got some competition. So can you touch a little bit on what that competition looks like, maybe in each of your main digital marketing channels, like in PPC, when you're doing things with SEO, like what does your competition look like there?
Okay. So the competition, you know, as far as like where the competition is stiffest, I've got to say as you know, the SEM, the PPC, I feel like that's probably the toughest place as far as competition for, you know, serving your ads, competition for the attention there, just because, as everybody knows, that SEM, that PPC is a super, super important platform because nowhere else do you really have that easily demonstrated intent to buy. I mean, they're searching for these terms because they're already interested. Their interest is piqued and they are looking for a solution. And if you can be the one to answer that question for them, you know, all the better. You have a leg up on potentially collecting that lead. And I would say that's probably the toughest for making your mark on a good, you know, affordable budget, right? Because the more popular a search term, the more valuable and the higher people are going to bid for it. So I would say that's the most challenging. And of course, I'm sure, you know, most people who are operating in a town with, you know, a few other competitors are familiar with other people betting on your name, right? Because everyone's kind of trying to scoop up the impressions where they can. I would say that's probably the most challenging. But a quick note on just competition at large. If your model is different enough, you know, you kind of make that competition a little more, I'm trying to think of the right word for it. You kind of neutralize that a little bit. You know, you're insulating yourself, because if you're truly following the principles of blue ocean marketing, you can really, you can create the uncontested space. It's about finding your own space and doing your own thing and not really kind of falling in victim to getting into that. You know, it's a crowded landscape out there for ads, for people's attention. I can't remember what the most recent stat is on what people's attention span is on all of this, but it's not long. Right. Yeah. So if you're just falling into the same shouting match that everybody else is, repeating the things that they're doing, but saying you'll do it lower, that is not the way to, you know, forge a new path for your business and to grow it.
Yeah. So we touched on that blue ocean philosophy, you know, that you have when it comes to advertising your services and engaging with your competition. So can you just walk us through what that means and how that philosophy influences how you think about competition at your practice, like on a really tangible level?
Certainly. Yeah. So, if you haven't checked out the book Blue Ocean Marketing, it came out in 2004. I highly recommend it. It's a great read. It's by W. Chan Kim, but it is a great book. And basically, if I had to summarize it, it's about, instead of falling into the pitfalls of kind of that tired, overdone, everybody's doing it kind of conversation about your industry, try to disrupt it by making your own path. Find what is unique about you, about your business, know who you are, know who your target market is, and find a completely different way to reach them. So I would say, like, the best visual that I can kind of compare it to is if you imagine the marketing landscape as an ocean, right? Traditional red ocean marketing, they're, you know, all the other businesses are sharks, right? And they're all getting into the same conversation. Well, we'll do it for 250 and I, we'll do it for this, we'll do it for 200, you know, and all these different promotions and whatnot. It's like they're taking bites out of each other, right? And before you know it, the water is red with, not only are they bleeding from, you know, whatever that bottom line would have been, the real and super unfortunate victim of that is consumer confidence. So people don't know what to listen to. Like, oh my gosh, why is it only this much over there? This is some kind of commodity that, can I trust it? Because it shakes everything that they think they know as they try to research, and it really confuses the value of the service. So for blue ocean marketing, you're just going to swim away from all of that, forge your own path. So for us, that's really been going to that full service, customer service oriented business. It's completely different than anything. Like, if you imagine a doctor's office right now, it is not like that. It's more like a spa. You come in, you have this really individualized attention. We try to really cater to your needs before you even know you have them. I mean, someone's going to check you in, know you by name already, take your coat. If you've been into our office a couple of times, we have taken notes as far as what your favorite beverage is that we offer. Like, we bring you everything that we can. And every single piece of that experience has been tailored to make you feel comfortable, make you feel confident and taken care of. Even the little details. We moved to a beautiful 10,000 square foot, very modern facility in 2017. And even the little things, right? Like, if you are sitting in our waiting room, which, by the way, we have very short wait times, so you might not get the chance to.
Always good to hear.
You'll never hear a phone ring. Like, everything has been moved to the back, so there's nothing that's going to be distracting or jarring in that. And so that's aside from the fact that, obviously, we have, we're really confident that we have the best in the biz. You know, our team is amazing. The service they provide and our results are continually rated very high. We have a very high patient satisfaction, right? So if you think about, you know, it's kind of ruined doctor's offices for me because, you know, I won't name any names, but they're always like, okay, come 15 minutes early. Yeah, uh-huh. Like come 15 minutes early to fill out paperwork. Which, come on, like everything could be digital now. So, but yeah. To fill out piles of paper I filled out 10 times before and then get called back 25 minutes late. Like that doesn't happen here. So yeah. We've really disrupted the way that people view what an experience at a doctor's office should look like. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, making things convenient wherever we can. And what's one thing that's really cool that we're doing right now that has really changed things, and you'd be hard pressed, I think, you know, I can't speak with absolute certainty that nobody is doing this, but I certainly haven't seen it. I haven't seen any marketing on it. We are offering a lot of telehealth options right now, virtual consultations, and frankly, this is something we were working on months before this pandemic hit. It just mm-hmm. happened to be, you know, good timing that we were able to roll that out, you know, to speed up that rollout to meet people's needs right now for the kind of the new normal that we're all in.
Yeah.
But it's a, yeah. So Blue Ocean, just change the conversation, find what your niche is, make yourself different, you know, be apart from the pack. And, you know, also for us, It's two things, right? We have that blue ocean marketing perspective, but also something that I really want to tout very highly that I'm very proud of. I highly suggest that every company takes a look at this and does some real introspection. We conduct ourselves rigorously with our 10 corporate values. And I mean, this is not something that we came up with overnight. I mean, we had a whole committee. We talked about this over multiple work sessions and brainstorming, and we came up with 10 corporate values that we conduct ourselves by in every single interaction. And, you know, some of those, for example, are, you know, integrity. We hold that very highly. Teamwork, you know, just conducting ourselves with that rigorous honesty, being above board. And that, you know, really translates heavily into what my department does, right? Because, you know, we already mentioned, we're not trying to sell you anything. This is not a gimmick. This is a life-changing, transformative experience. And we mm-hmm. want to represent it as such, but we also don't overpromise. You know, you have to be honest, forthcoming, and, you know, share the facts. But in the end, marketing vision correction is about, you know, you got to have that heart-mind connection, right? It's mm-hmm. really kind of a decision of the heart. You know, you want to motivate people and make them feel what their life could feel like if they could just make this move to really improve their quality of life. And then the head part comes second. And that's, you know, making sure that you're putting out great quality content that can educate them so that when they do get ready to make that leap, their head can help them rationalize it. And, you know, both the heart and the mind are happy when they move forward.
Well, that's great. So, I mean, there's no denying that we live in a very online age, and probably now mm-hmm. more so than ever. And when you think about the behavior and all of the things we'd use the internet for, we're really no different when it comes to healthcare and researching our options. I read a stat that something like 8 out of 10 patients turn to Google or another search engine when they're either looking for a new doctor or doing research on a specific medical condition that they might have. So I imagine when patients come to your practice, you get a fair amount of people who have already done their research, and for one reason or another, they've chosen you over, you know, one of your competitors down the street. So when you talk to them about their choice, when you're getting to know them a little bit better, like, what do your patients say? In their own words, what do they see as setting your practice apart before they've ever really had an interaction with you?
Mm-hmm. Hands down, 100%, the reviews. We have over 600, last time I counted, we have over 600 positive 5-star reviews from actual patients. So when you're looking at a, you know, a fairly small team in an ophthalmology practice, that's a pretty darn good number. We're really yeah. proud of that because each and every one of those, I mean, that is a happy person who yeah. has, you know, not only had their life changed, but think about the last time you wrote a review, right? Like, what motivates us to actually stop what we are doing and spend a minute to completely just to write a review to help somebody else, right? It's not just to help our business, but it's to help their fellow person, right? Like, hey, here's something cool. I want to share this with you.
It's usually either a really good review and you had a wonderful experience, or it's the worst experience ever and you want to warn others.
100%. You're either super upset or you are super happy. There's really nobody just like, write a review and say like how okay this was, right? So we're really proud of those reviews, and they're across multiple platforms. We have some really, really good Google reviews. I would say those have been probably the fastest growing subset, you know, platform for reviews for us. We have a ton on Facebook. And then we actually also, what was the other one that we had? Yelp. I think anybody in marketing can tell you Yelp is kind of a tricky landscape there. But yeah, we've got that growing as a platform too. And we hear from, you know, I don't have like a stat for you as far as, you know, percentage of people that we hear, you know, kind of tote those reviews as their reason for coming in, but it's significant. We hear about it a lot from people, and we're really, really grateful to our patients who take the time to review as well.
That's great. Now, I want to touch on the reviews a little bit, because with numbers like that, I mean, it's obvious that you have lots of patients that are coming through the door, whether it's once or several times, they've had that really great experience and they do actually want to, you know, help you out and help others who are doing their research. But what is your process for gathering new reviews look like? Does it mean asking patients, or do all of those come in organically?
Yeah, I'm really glad you bring that up. I would say a couple of things. So yes, we do ask for reviews, because it's one of those things where you've gotten to know them, or at least not me, because I'm in the marketing department and, you know, really the function of my job is to be invisible, right? But our awesome people that we have in the clinic, our doctors, our technicians, who all have fantastic, just their demeanor with the patients is so great. They're also empathetic, and they build some really good relationships. So it means a lot more, I think, coming from an actual person that you've built a relationship with, who's just like, hey, you know, if you feel motivated to do this, if you don't mind, like just taking a quick second to write a review, we'd so appreciate it. Right. Yeah. So we do ask, but I also really want to caution people. You know, there's a term, review gating. If you haven't heard of it, I highly suggest, you know, looking into it, because you don't want to be review gating. And that's kind of like where you kind of make yourself some sort of gatekeeper between people being able to put their input out there or not. Don't do that. I mean, just put out there your best possible service, give them the best possible experience they can have, and they're going to have good things to say. And all you're doing by asking, and don't pressure, you know, but all you do by just simply asking is giving them the opportunity to easily share that experience should they choose to. But you have to be prepared to also, you know, stand by your team and stand by your word, and you know, have integrity if they do have something negative to say, you know, and take it to heart, you know, learn from each thing that they have to say. And just because we don't have, you know, knock on wood, like, right, like as a press time here, you know, we don't have, you know, a ton of negative reviews or anything, but if we did, you know, we would give them just as much respect and credence as the people who are writing really positive ones, because every single bit of input you get from people is a chance to learn. But I do highly suggest asking for reviews, because as long as you know that you've given them, you know, the very best of yourself, the very best of your practice, there's no reason not to just put it out there as a quick favor they could do, you know, and don't, you know, don't bribe them or anything. If you want to give them a little thank you or something after, just for like, oh, hey, thanks for doing that, that was really nice of you, go for it. But it's not like, hey guys, like write us a 5-star review and you'll get like a t-shirt. Like, don't do that.
No quid pro quos here.
No, you know, you're better than that. You don't need to do that, as long as you're giving people the great experience they deserve.
Gotcha. So let's shift gears and talk a little bit about cost, because, I mean, if you think about it, a procedure like LASIK is expensive for a lot of reasons. And I imagine that cost is a big concern to many patients who are walking through the door. So when a patient comes to your practice and they're saying, hey, we're on board, you know, we really love this, we want to take the next step, but they cite price as a concern, how do you deal with that? And how do you communicate the difference between your practice and maybe that discount LASIK center across town who's offering, you know, $250 an eye? How do you do that?
Yeah, certainly. And people's perceptions are their realities, right? You know, and we want to be empathetic to that. And certainly the worst possible response you could ever have to anybody's concern is like anything that amounts to like a nuh-uh, right? Because like if they say it's expensive, then it's expensive to them. Yeah. We get it. But we do really try to illustrate the value that goes far and away beyond, you know, the dollars and cents of it, right? So I would say the first thing that we approach that at is, for example, if someone's calling you on the phone and just saying like straight up, well, how much is LASIK? Okay, let's take a step back there. Let's try to kind of reframe this conversation, right? Because as we've already discussed, we offer all seven different kinds of vision correction. It's not just, hey, I'm calling up to get the LASIK, right? Mm-hmm. It all starts with that consultation. You really need to get them in the door. They need to actually see your experts, find out if that's really what's right for them. Because the cost can vary based on procedure, just because of the different techniques and technology it takes to do that.
Sure.
So it's kind of like, you don't really need to get into that a ton until you even know if that's what's right for them.
Gotcha.
But past that, you know, do make people aware of the, you know, the comparative cost, right? So if you look at the cost over an entire lifetime of basically renting your vision, right? And that's your glasses, your inconvenient contacts, because by the way, like nobody, again, like nobody loves poking their eye every morning and putting like a fungus coated disc in there. Like that's not fun. So if you compare what they are spending monthly, yearly, and how much that adds up over an entire lifetime to live with a quality of vision that they're not even like raving about, and then compare that to one, just one simple procedure that can fix that, that can give them long-term good vision that they're happy with, that's more convenient. Mm-hmm. When you really look at the numbers, you can see why you really can't afford not to do it. So it really, at this point, it's really just sort of them, you know, can they shift that the way that they're looking at it? Can they shift their perspective from kind of this, you know, thing that's become their status quo, this expense that they've decided to, you know, kind of swallow and be okay with every single month. And you show them what it could be like if they just could stop the cycle. A lot of people, I think, see the value in that and are able to move forward. Really quick, two other tools to be aware of. Like, yeah, we do offer financing. And of course, we're going to let them know that that's an option. So that can really help. I think that with good financing and understanding the value, we can make it affordable for people on most budgets. So it's really something that is workable. And I think most people, the last time I looked at the stat, I want to say most people LASIK quote like pays for itself within 5 years. And of course, that could be a little slower, a little faster, depending on what you personally are spending. But we offer a really great calculator on our site, actually, where you can put in how much you particularly spend and how many years until you're, you know, 65 or, you know, however old you are when you, you know, can expect to need like a cataract surgery. And you can actually see right there what your personal savings number would be. So all of these things combined is usually a really helpful thing to try to, you know, kind of turn that conversation around and help these people to see the value and to feel more confident and comfortable with the choice to come in and learn more.
Gotcha. So it sounds like really reframing the conversation around value and also seeking to educate the patient on other ways they might be saving. That helps a lot as compared to just competing against others in your market just on pure dollars and cents alone.
Certainly. And they also have to kind of look at, you know, when you are talking about an elective medical procedure, this is not just LASIK, this is not just vision correction, it's anything. I mean, whether your practice, you know, whether you're doing cosmetic surgery, whether it's a nose job or LASIK, doesn't matter what it is, your competition isn't necessarily, you know, the guy down the street doing it for, you know, a different amount than you're doing it for. Your competition is life, you know, like you are competing against, oh, I really wanted to go to Cancun next year, or Jimmy needs braces. it's everything else in their life that's getting in the way and convincing them that they can't invest in themselves. You know, so it's really just kind of, you got to find ways to show them, hey, like you're already spending this. I mean, I may have a Starbucks addiction. if I put together how much I am spending, which by the way, I'm not going to do that right now because I'm sure it will just make me sick. Right. But if I look at how much I'm spending on lattes every single day for a year, good Lord, that is definitely more than, you know, a reasonable monthly fee for financing vision correction.
Sure. It reminds me of the quote, the Netflix CEO once said that his main competition was not all the other streaming services. It was people falling asleep. That was the main competition, is sleep, not actually all the other people out there. So I think you're right, you know, framing it in terms of, hey, all the other things you do with your life, how can we, you know, reframe that conversation for a patient and get them to understand that there really is tremendous value in what we're offering. And hey, it does pay for itself over time.
Certainly. Personal note to the Netflix CEO, though, I just want to put out there that I feel personally attacked when it asks if I'm still watching.
It's the most passive aggressive comment ever.
Like it might as well say, hey, would you like to read a book now?
Maybe they can work on that language.
I know, right? Like it's just kind of like, yes, I am.
Yeah, still okay. Here. I know, I've been sitting on the couch for 3 hours. Yeah. So Stephanie, just kind of stepping back for a moment and thinking about marketing in general, if you had one piece of marketing advice to offer to other managers who are out there in private practice, regardless of their specialty, what's kind of the one salient point? What's the one takeaway that you would offer for them?
Well, at the risk of sounding redundant, but, you know, I'll repeat it anyway because it's so important. And, you know, it's not like a silver bullet. It's not like a, you know, sexy new saying like, oh, we should be doing, like, just know yourself. Know yourself, you know, your business. Know your consumer. Because if you haven't taken the time to really analyze, like, who are we as a business, right? Like, what are we offering that makes us so special? How are we doing it differently? Know yourself inside and out so that you know what you're trying to convey. Because if you look, just like go through social media and look at like a big brand and then look at your local businesses, right? Mm-hmm. You will see the gamut, like who clearly knows themselves, has a brand voice, has a clear, consistent message. Who, when you look at their stuff, you're like, oh yeah, I know. Like, I feel like I know what to expect, right? And who is just all over the board. Like, if you look at like what you're putting out there and you're putting out like the stereotypical, like, here's a kitten in sunglasses on Friday saying happy, like TGIF. Like, no, like know who you are and be true to that. If you don't have a brand style guide, make one. It is, it's a labor of love. It takes time. I wrote our brand style guide, and I will say it's probably the thing I am most proud of in my life as far as a professional contribution to an organization, to a mission that I care about. If you don't have one, write one. If you don't know how to write one, research, reach out to somebody who you feel like you love their stuff. A lot of marketers out there, like, we're total nerds, right? We love what we do. Get me talking about marketing. I will talk your ear off. And just find someone that you like their stuff. Ask them for advice. Most people started out getting advice from people and they're happy to give it back. You know, just ask the questions. And then past that, the next thing, know your consumer inside and out. Because if you don't know who you're talking to, nothing you do is going to be effective. You know, it takes so many touches right now for a consumer to actually make a move and, you know, go for whatever product or service you are working to get the word out about, you know. And if you don't know who you're talking to, you're just kind of doing the spray and pray with that message, right? Like, I should fling a little over here, a little over there. I don't know how my money is being spent efficiently. Probably not. Let's just see who responds. That's not going to work. So really just find that time, that introspection, do your research, and a lot of stuff will fall into place from there.
Well, I love that. Well, if any of our listeners want to learn more about your practice, where can they find you online?
They can find us at kuglervision.com. That is K-U-G-L-E-R vision.com. We just actually completely redid our website. We launched the new mobile friendly version in late 2016 and, you know, continuing to work and optimize that each and every day as we go, which, by the way, you're just one last thing. You know, while we're on advice for other marketers, if you're not happy with your website, get on that. I mean, that is the first thing people see, like before they walk in the door, and it needs to be a good impression. If your website looks like it's from 1992, people will think that the quality of work you do is not in 2020 either. So work on that, and then just never be satisfied. You know, stay hungry, stay motivated, keep learning, keep doing new things, because that is not only what's going to make your each and every day rewarding and interesting and engaging, it's going to, you know, translate, you know, that passion to your customers as well.
I love that. Well, Stephanie, I really appreciate you taking the time. I hope other marketing managers out there can really learn something about that blue ocean strategy and some other marketing tips from our conversation. So thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Crawford. Always a pleasure to talk with you.